Love and peace to you from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. To start with, I'm going to quote Matthew Henry. He says, "All this is a prophecy of the reign of Antiochus Epiphanes, the little horn spoken of before, a sworn enemy to the Jewish religion, and a bitter persecutor of those that adhered to it." Now, although this text does describe Antiochus Epiphanes the fourth, I believe it could pertain to Antichrist and to the end times Antichrist. I don't think it's limited. These verses are what we call apocalyptic, a revelation of the end times, all right? Verse 36, "The king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed, for what has been determined must take place." Bob Yulee says, "Antiochus is in a sense the Old Testament type of anti-God world leader. This type of person is common to every age and region. Satan does not know the time of Christ's return, so he must always have someone ready to step onto the stage of history." So I believe Matthew Henry is correct in regards to context, as far as this referring to Antiochus the Fourth in this chapter of Daniel. However, as Bob Yulee states, this king can also point to the future Antichrist. Question, is Antichrist in the world today? Yes. Is it the end times Antichrist? We don't know, right? Okay. So let's look at the scriptures pertaining to Antichrist. And there's not a whole lot of them, all right? Believe it or not, for as much as people talk about it, all right? Thessalonians chapter 2. Paul writes, "Don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God." That sounds like many people today, right? I believe the clearest scripture on it is in 1 John chapter 2. John writes, "Dear children, this is the last hour, and as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, and even now many Antichrists have come, this is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us, for if they had belonged to us, they would have remained with us, but their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. Who is the liar? It is whoever denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a person is the Antichrist, denying the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also." Once again, that sounds like it could be people today, right? Revelation chapter 13. "The beast was given a mouth to utter proud words and blasphemies and exercise its authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to blaspheme God and to slander his name and his dwelling place and those who live in heaven. It was given power to wage war against God's holy people and to conquer them. And it was given authority over every tribe, people, language, and nation. All inhabitants of the earth will worship the beast, all those whose names have not been written in the Lamb's book of life, the Lamb who was slain from the creation of the world." Once again, this could apply to many people, right? So in light of Scripture, is the Antichrist just at the end of time? No. He is in the world today. And there will always be Antichrist in the world until Jesus returns. Then the ultimate Antichrist will appear, all right? Does Antichrist know when Jesus will return? No. Does it change his mission? No. And what is his mission? To lie and to destroy us and our children, okay? And I believe one of the problems is the church doesn't realize we're at war. And if we don't realize we're at war, we're going to be defeated, all right? We have to wake up and realize, all right? When I was preaching last night, the first thing I thought of was my grandsons, Q and Richie. the Antichrist wants to destroy them. He wants to cast them into hell. Daniel, he wants to cast your kids into hell. And our grandkids into hell. Isn't that enough to tick you off? We need to wake up, right? So how do we defeat them? It starts on our knees. We pray, okay? That's how we do it. And in love, we can say, just like in the prayer that Billy Graham said that Pastor Robin shared, we speak against these things that are not of Christ. So our mission hasn't changed either. Verse 37, he will show no regard for the gods of his ancestors or the one desired by women, nor will he regard any god, but will exalt himself above them all. Bob Yeadley says, this is difficult to understand because Antiochus the IV did not reject the gods of his father. He worshipped Zeus. The phrase, the desire of women, has been referred to by some to mean that he neglected human love. But in context, it seems to be possibly relate to Tammuz, the love goddess of Babylon. This seems to show that he will claim deity for himself. Epiphanes means manifested God. It is obvious from the coins of the period that the Syrian rulers believed themselves to be divine. This was especially true of Antiochus IV Epiphanes. So Antiochus wanted all of his subjects, including the Jews, to worship his God. At the same time, he considered himself God. And today we think, how terrible that this guy thought he was God, right? But don't many people today think they're God? Times we think we're God, right? David Dykes writes, the essence of sin is not atheism. It is self-worship. An atheist who says he doesn't believe in God has actually exalted his own intellect and mind to replace God. When someone tells you they don't believe in a God or worship God, don't you believe it? What they really mean is they don't worship the God of the Bible, the living God of Israel. Instead, they bow down at the altar of their mighty brain's conclusion about God. And what that means is they worship themselves. Aren't there times when we want to be gods? If you've ever had teenagers, okay, wouldn't you like to be able to control them, right? I think there's times we all want to be gods. Or when we know there's a job, a certain job we want and we need, or we need this or we need that, we want to be God. When we want to control our lives or others' lives so that they will conform to our will. And I believe the number one idol today in America is self. And people say money, but it all gets back to the self. I want more money. I want more of this. I want more of that. The self is the God. And we all fight that, right? I was talking with my mother-in-law, my young mother-in-law here. And it is a joy to have her here, okay? But we were talking, and she brought up that the state of Colorado's thrilled because they found out they've made $1 billion or billions of dollars over the sale of marijuana, okay? Well, I did some fact-checking, and one hospital in Pueblo said that 50% of the births 1 month were THC babies. That means they had marijuana in their system. What that means is there's a chance they're going to have learning disabilities and they're going to have a handicap, all right? But we got $1 billion. And then those who are in favor said, oh no, that figure's inflated. It's only 27%. What if it's one? If you did that to one person, you should be convicted of it, right? But do you see how Antichrist is so subtle? All right. And I'll just pay you off with $1 billion. And then it's all good. What's that? Party time, yeah. And once again, it's the self, right? If I want to enjoy smoking pot, that's fine. Even if it retards my kid. It's crazy, isn't it? You're not going to hear that on the news, okay? Verse 38, instead of them, he will honor a god of fortresses, a god unknown to his ancestors. He will honor with gold and silver, with precious stones and costly gifts. He will attack the mightiest fortresses with the help of a foreign god and will greatly honor those who acknowledge him. He will make them rulers over many people and will distribute the land at a price. Now, this god that he worshiped refers to the Greek god Jupiter Capitolinus, which is Zeus for the Romans. And we know that he built an altar to Zeus in the temple in Jerusalem and had people worship there. He offered a pig on the altar as a sacrifice, and he forced the Jews to eat pork, which was against their religion. And many died rather than eat pork. But he chose those that ministered to this idol to rule over many. He put them into places of power and trust. So what he's saying is there were Jews who were paid to worship Zeus in the temple and to persecute their own people. And there were Jews who did this, okay? These ministers of Antiochus caved into power and money. Do people cave into power and money today? Yes. Don't we? Sometimes, unfortunately, right? And we'll listen to celebrities because they've made it. They got money and possessions, and you know, they have shows exalting the richest people and stuff. So we listen to Oprah and celebrities for truth. Do we let their opinions guide our lives? Or are we guided by God's Word? What is the source of truth? Celebrities or the Word of God? The Word of God, right? Which leads to a fuller life? The Word of God, right? Which leads to eternal life? The Word of God, right? Tom Cruise, the very rich, famous actor, is part of the Scientology cult, and he got in trouble several years ago. He criticized Brooke Shields because she used medication to treat her depression. Scientology is in opposition to all psychiatric drugs. She responded, "His comments are dangerous. He should stick to saving the world from aliens." And that was a slap in the face because Scientology, I didn't know this, but they believe that trillions of years ago, aliens came and planted something in our brains, okay? And that's what the problem is, okay? I would call it the fall, okay, of Adam and Eve. But this is what people believe. And they'll look at a person like that and say, well, Cruz hasn't made. He must be right. No. The Word of God is correct, right? Verse 40, at that time of the end, the king of the south will engage him in battle, and the king of the north will storm out against him with chariots and cavalry and a great fleet of ships. He will invade many countries and sweep through them like a flood. He will also invade the beautiful land. Many countries will fall, but Edom, Moab, and the leaders of Ammon will be delivered from his hand. Those were traditional enemies of the Jewish people. He will extend his power over many countries. Egypt will not escape. He will gain control of the treasures of gold and silver and all the riches of Egypt with the Libyans and Cushites in submission. Is this referring to the past or the future? Well, both, because Antiochus had two battles against Egypt and North Africa, all right? One he won, the second one he lost because the Romans interfered, all right? So the prophecy is true that Daniel has here, all right? But it can refer to a future event also. These references imply that all of chapter 11 relates to the jealousy and rivalry between the Syrian Empire and the Egyptian Empire. These phrases are a major problem to see in Daniel 11:36-45 as exclusively future. There is no hint of two geographical Mediterranean kings being involved in an end-time warfare over Israel. If we understand the genre, then all the details become symbolic for an end-time conflict between believers and unbelievers, not Jews and their enemies. And that was Bob Utley writes that. And there's too many people who try to assign who's the north, who's the south, The bottom line is this: the people of God and Antichrist and those forces opposed to God's people, right? And who are God's people? We are, right? We have to be careful about mapping out the end times and Jesus' return, because only God knows. I believe it is much more important to confront the Antichrist among us. Once again, is Antichrist in the world today? But we focus on the Antichrist of the end times, right? When people talk about Antichrist, they think of the guy at the end times. And after all, isn't that what we see in the movies? Absolutely. The End of Days, Damien, and I don't even know what other movies about the end of time, okay? We see it on the big screen, so it has to be true, right? Hollywood paints it this way: Antichrist will be all-powerful and will almost win, but God gets lucky and pulls it out, barely, and the battle is delayed. That's Hollywood's interpretation. That way they can have Apocalypse 2, okay? I believe Hollywood and the media in many cases are controlled by Antichrist. So don't take them as a source of information. For example, Russell Wilson, the quarterback for the Seahawks, and no, I don't like the Seahawks, you all know that, okay? Many years ago, he got divorced from his wife, and then he signed a major contract, and the sports world wasn't upset about it, you know. Media just says, well, guys get divorced, okay? Well, then, a problem happened. Russell Wilson got engaged to a supermodel, and they decided they wouldn't have sexual relations until they were married. And they let that out in the news. Then there was a riot. How can this be, you know? This guy is crazy, all right? Whereas before, to divorce his wife and sign a big contract was no problem. That's what the world gives us. That's the world's values, okay? So we need to know that there is Antichrist in the world, and we need to confront them. And we also know, in the end, they lose. They lose in the end. Amen? Yes. Billy Ricks writes, "The prophecies call us to keep the main things the main things. They call us to love God with all our heart. Early believers or followers of the way would have known nothing of the half-hearted devotion that is given to Jesus today. The prophecies resound with the voice of Joshua, who cries out, 'Choose this day, who will you serve? If the God of money, then money. If the God of ease and comfort, if the God of power and prominence, if the God of pleasure, then pleasure. But as for me and my house, we will serve the living God, Yahweh.'" So the main thing is, who will we serve? God, right? Verse 44, "But reports from the east and the north will alarm him, and he will be sent out in a great rage to destroy and annihilate many. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful mountain, yet he will come to his end and no one will help." Well, several weeks ago we discovered this is what happened. For 3.5 years he was totaling Jerusalem and Judah, and then there was problems in the north with the Parthians. So he went to fight them, and then he heard that he was losing control in Jerusalem. So he got angry, and he wanted to go back and completely destroy Jerusalem. Well, along the way, that's when he fell out of his chariot, and he got sick. He had worms, and he smelled, and his troops didn't even want to be around him, and he ended up dying, okay? So judgment came upon him. In Revelation 19, we hear about the end of the Antichrist. "Then I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered to wage war against the rider on the horse and his army. But the beast was captured, with it the false prophet who had performed the signs on its behalf. With these signs he had deluded those who had received the mark of the beast and worshipped its image. The two of them were thrown alive into the fiery lake of burning sulfur. The rest were killed with the sword coming out of the mouth of the rider on the horse, and all the birds gorged themselves on their flesh." Some questions. In the past, at the time of Antiochus, who won, Antichrist or God? In the present, who wins, Antichrist or God? In the future, who wins, Antichrist or God? Church, we will be victorious, now and forever. But we have work to do in confronting the Antichrist today. Don't focus on the end time guy. Focus on Antichrist today. as he strives to manipulate and destroy our families and our friends and our neighbors. We have a mission to combat him. We do it largely by prayer and by loving all people to Jesus Christ. That's how we combat him. I'm going to close with some words from David Dykes. He writes, "I don't know when Jesus will return to set all this in motion, but I do know we are 1 week closer to it than we were a week ago. This is not a time for us to play church. We must get serious. When I became a man, I put away childish things. What I'm talking about today is eternal truth. There is a lost world out there without Jesus, and we must encourage the believers and evangelize the lost. Do you believe the Word of God is true? Then we must know God is in control. We must realize Jesus is coming soon. Until He does, we must share this good news with everyone around us. Amen."